going, yeah? How you going, yeah? How you going, yeah?
G'day, Ross from the Cosmic Psychos. Welcome to How You Going, a show where I sit down for a drink and catch up with one of my mates. You'll know me, mate, in this episode as the frontman and bass player for The Chats. In case you've been living under a rock, The Chats are bloody unreal and are an international sensation. The Psychos have been lucky enough to tour The Chats a bunch of times, but most recently on a big trip to the US where we got into all manner of mischief. Hanging out with them is always a fun time. They're one of the hardest working and creative bands I know. They've even won an ARIA and an APRA, whatever that is, for how good they are at writing songs. And their frontman Eamon is a great bloke and a great mate. He's always up to something, whether it's with the three bands he's in or helping others release their music with his label Bargain Bin Records. I love that he doesn't put up with any shit and at the same time being a generous and a kind-hearted softy. Just don't tell him I said that. Eamon came up for a visit on the farm back in March and stayed the night, took him to the local pub, and we double parked ourselves with a Bod Riggy Cosmic Psychos draft and a heaps normal. And we had this little chat. And while you're still listening, Cosmic Psychos have a new album out, November the 7th, called I Really Like Beer. We'll be taking it on the road, up and down the East Coast, over to the West, heaps of other places in between. Visit cosmicpsychos.com.au for details and tickets. Anyway. Eamon, how you going?
Good, mate. Couldn't be better.
Oh, fantastic, mate. Thanks for coming to the shed.
No, thanks for having me here.
Unreal, mate. What's been going on?
What's been going on? Not too much, man. Played a gig on the weekend with the Unknowns and, you know, Chats aren't doing too much this year. We got a few shows coming up, but, you know, we've just been working on new songs together, which has been fun.
Yeah, and no other changes in life, mate? Like, have you left the sunshine if you come down to the dark side, apparently.
Yeah, the great migration, yeah. Moved in Melbourne, along with Matt and Josh too. So, I mean, they kind of beat me down here, but it's nice having mates in town again. Brisbane was getting a bit dry. Well, it's nice seeing all my Brisbane friends down here now.
Oh, there you go, mate. There you go. The reason for the change, just everyone, just a progression down. Is it lifestyle, just music?
Yeah, I guess music had a big part in it. Yeah, I mean, I'd been in Brisbane for 6 years or so and, you know, I loved it there and I don't know, I don't want to live in the same place forever, you know. Mm. Me and Josh, we were always anti-Melbourne. We were like, fuck Melbourne, not fucking moving there. But, you know, here we are.
Well, there you go. It's not a bad spot.
Ah, it's great. It's nice.
Not a bad spot. At least there's a couple of venues old and new and opening up again too, which is pretty good. You were saying earlier off air about you went to the Punters Club the other day.
Yeah, I did. That was a nice pub. I don't know, it's just a lot of good pubs that still put bands on, which in Brisbane is a little bit of a rarity these days. A lot of venues closing down, a lot of bands moving away as a result. So it's nice to be down here where there's a lot happening.
Yeah, it's a shame really. I mean, I like going to Brizzy, but I don't know. Yeah, living there, I'm not sure. I probably couldn't handle the weather.
No, I can't.
You blokes could, but
I mean, look at me. I can't handle the sun. I'm not meant to be out there.
Ah, shit. So, you know, with your songwriting, there's a lot of stuff about Queensland in it, you know, far north. It's all sunshine and warmth and everything. Could this...
This throw a spanner in the works?
I'm really looking forward to the next Chats depressive industrial record.
Yeah.
Now that you're living in the Detroit of Australia.
It's all synthesizers and fucking string sections and yeah, no, I don't know. It's like you know, growing up in that area, you know, I feel like we still had a few songs. It was kind of about like the dark side of that sort of culture, whether it be, you know, drinking and people, you know, getting in fights and all that kind of shit. It just seemed, you know, I was never a great songwriter, still aren't, but I've always liked using like landmarks and stuff as a way of people around that area being like, oh, sick. But also just because that was what I would see every day. So I guess that's always kind of been my angle, is like what's going on and what pisses me off, what goes through my head. I don't know, like, you know, I've been still been writing heaps of songs for the chats, and, you know, while the Queenslandisms may have been toned down a little bit, it's still very much, you know, like Australian, and but it's a little more kind of, you know, what's going on in my world, in my head and all that. And I don't know. I think it's less of a crutch, you know?
Mm. The whole thing is that I've been asked by people sometimes to go, well, how can you write songs? And I go, stay pissed off.
Yeah. I've been like, I don't know if you've ever gotten writer's block, but I've gone months without writing a song, and that has a weird effect on you because you go, fuck, I'm useless. Like, this is the one thing I'm meant to be all right at. Yeah. I can't even do that.
I reckon the only time I ever get that is from playing too much.
Yeah, yeah. You play the same songs every night. You go, yep. Fuck.
Yeah, yeah, and like, and you enjoy doing it, but when you get it, you're probably the same as me, but I don't try and write songs. I gave that up years ago. I just go, I'm not playing live now. And when you go, I've got nothing going on, and then I'll come in the shed and stare at the wall. And then when I get bored, I go, oh, fuck, I'm bored. And then when I'm bored, I get angry.
Yep.
And I reckon you have to just stop. As we talked before, but how can you write a song on the road?
No, yeah.
What? It's going to be
unfathomable.
Well, hang on. I do. I made the biggest mistake. There is a song called On the Road Again. Yeah, but, and, you know, it's okay to get a job.
Yeah.
Because when you get a job, instantly you are in the world of...
You're pissed off all the fucking time.
I fucking hate everything. I fucking hate my job.
Yeah.
I hate everything. I hate having to pay. I fucking hate going to work. I hate everything. And that's why people go and see bands.
Exactly, yeah. It takes them out of that world. Yeah. Exactly. But, yeah, no, I'm the same. If I sit down and I go, oh, I'm going to try and write a song, it's dog shit. 100% of the time.
Yeah. It's rubbish. I've tried it. Yeah. I've sat down there and go, I need to write a song. And I'll sit there and go, I won't even pick the guitar up.
Yeah.
But I'll be on the dozer going, I'm fucked off. I'm tired. I'm really pissed off. And then I'll go, and then you hear that little.
Yeah, it starts flowing out.
You hear that riff in your head and you go, don't fucking forget it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And you try and get home really quick to do it. Yeah, yeah. It's just about, keeping it real. Like, that's a terrible line. But
well, no, it's true. I mean, that's literally how Smoko came into my head. I remember walking up, I was at my dad's house in Logan. I was like walking up the road to the bakery. It's like, oh, I'm going to go get a pie. And, you know, I got the pie and then walking home. And then I had like the kind of chorus riff in my head or whatever. I went home and I just immediately picked up the guitar and I went, sweet. It just kind of, it falls into place when you're.
So quick.
Yeah, when you just, I don't know, when you're feeling a real strong aggravation towards the world.
And I think that's the difference between us and folk music, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Do those people feel all right?
I'm not sure. Hey, tell us about Panic Attack.
Panic Attack is a song by The Chats from 2022. But, you know, I kind of, you know, had a bit of a thing going with anxiety for a while, wasn't feeling too shit hot. But I thought, you know, I've always thought things that are kind of pissing me off or whatever, that kind of runs into writing a song or whatever. And, yeah, I just thought, you know, what's the harm? I guess in my younger days I would have been more skeptical to, you know, be so, I don't even think it's really that vulnerable of a song because, you know, it's just rock and roll, but it's probably a little more deeper than what we've written about in the past. And it's like, I guess the more you can kind of get out there and share your own stories, it helps other people, you know, around the world. And I know you got a similar song, the Panic song.
Yeah, well, mine was just searching lyrics, and when I recorded it, I called it the Panic song.
Yeah.
So there was a set of stairs at Lindsay Gravina's studio. I ran up and down them 20 times till I was completely out of breath and then did the vocals.
Why?
Because it had to sound like I was having a panic. Had this actually... It's just a load of garbage.
I feel like you could have done one or two flights.
I had to exhaust myself.
Yeah, right.
Completely, and just hit the microphone and do it that way, but not for the reasons that you did. But how does Eamon relax? How do you let off steam?
You know, I fucking go for a walk or whatever. It's touring's hard because, you know, you wake up hungover most of the time. And that'll exacerbate your anxiety if there's already a bit of a base level running there. But, you know, I try and get out, walk about, you know, a few Ks or whatever, do as much as I can. I think I'm a bit better with the grog than I used to be. Because obviously, you know, you're young and you think you can just handle anything, and then you get a bit older and you...
What?
You know what I mean.
Yeah,
you can't rip as many as you used to, and you're like, oh shit, I'm getting old, but I'm pretty good, you know, I'm all right with my health, my body and stuff.
We had a day off somewhere in the States, and I remember looking out the window of the bus.
What was I throwing up?
No. I get up in the morning, I cracked a beer and looked outside, and you're out there and you've got the headphones on or your pod things, whatever you call them.
Yeah.
And your ears. And you're out there pumping a couple of dumbbells, and then you turn around and have a swig of beer. And I'm going, I should join him.
Yeah, right.
Just, it's an image I'll never forget. But yeah, as far as anything else, like walking, weightlifting, is there anything else? What do you do to just go, or is it just doing nothing?
Yeah, I've been doing nothing heaps. It's sick. You know, like just literally nothing. Like sit, like not even watching TV, just sit down, just like, and you get real in touch with your head.
Yeah.
Like I swim laps a lot.
Cool.
You know, I used to run a lot. I don't really like running as much now. I like laps more, but I like that because you're forced to just be in your own head for 20 minutes at a time or however long you go.
Well, you don't have to nod to anyone that goes past. Yeah. you look at the line.
Yeah.
As Macca knows very well. Yeah, you know, I did similar. I sit in here. I don't have a tally in here. I like just sitting here staring at the walls.
Yeah, it's good.
Just zoning out. Just,
it's good, man.
It's all right. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. Or, well, as we did tonight, we had a workout.
Yeah, we did.
Do a few weights. It's good. Good for the black dog.
Yeah. You worked out more than I did, but, I mean, I got a workout just watching you lift that thing up.
Mate, you had a red hot go. If you're a bit like me and you want to say no to water, then be like me and always keep a slab of Heaps Normal in the fridge. It'll get you through those good times that are too good to be wasted. And when I'm on the dozer, Heaps Normal non-alcoholic beers give me the same heavenly taste of beer when I just can't afford the hassle. I call them stunt beers because you get all the action without anyone doing a mischief to themselves. Heaps Normal, too good to be wasted. The first time I'd heard of you and the boys was there was this thing on, you know, national morning TV and a song, and I had people ringing up going, hey, have you seen this band? They look really good and that kind of stuff. And that's, it's not as though you had some giant PR company pushing you or something. It was just sort of, it just went bang out of nowhere. Well, what was that like for you and how do you feel about that? That was just it was just come from nowhere.
Yeah, I'm still wrapping my head around that. I mean, I'm more comfortable now than I was with it then. I mean, I always viewed it as, you know, this could just end tomorrow, so we got to have fun while we can. But, you know, at the time I was just working at Coles and that video kind of started going nuts on the internet. But I kept working at Coles for like another year or so after that, and you know, that was pretty funny. People would come up to me and be like, oh, when's your smoker, mate? You know, like, but you know, I thought it was kind of cool at the time. It's obviously weird when you got a band and you're like, oh yeah, we got some other songs or whatever. You know, I can see why people liked it, obviously, but I think it's cool now that, you know, people come and they're like, oh, I like this song, I like that one, you know. It's, but yeah, I guess I was a bit worried about being, you know, a one hit wonder or whatever, but it's not the worst thing.
Nah, I mean, yeah, well, you've definitely proved you're not the knack with My Sharona.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's, I don't know if you know that one.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah.
So, but it's, nah, it's like.
Much better solo on that song.
Because I remember that, on that, we did that, I can't remember, it was that first tour, and then we went and did the fishing trip in Darwin or something, and then people coming up to you going, oh, I love that song, love that song.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was just, I'm just going, wow, it's really taken off, because me not being from the internet world or.
Yeah.
Or having anything smart enough to be on there or whatever. Mm. But, I mean, how good is it? I mean, I guess you've got to embrace it, but
of course.
It does put pressure on you, or it can, I guess. I don't know. I've never been in that position.
Yeah, I just always went, oh, you know, like if that's what people remember the band for, so be it, you know. It's not anything that any of us, well, I can't speak for the other guys, nothing I'm embarrassed about. You know, I think it's pretty cool. You know, even still now people are like, oh, you're the – guy from Smoko, and I'm like, oh yeah, you know, cool, whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, cool, you're still playing tunes and that. And I'm like, yeah, you know.
I couldn't handle being in that situation myself now. It's kind of like if they just looked at something on their phone for and just gone, that's really cool, and then dropped off. But are they actually rock and roll heads? I don't know, handling that, do you take offense from that, or do you, is it just, do you recognize them as a fan or someone who just goes, hey mate, thanks, that was great, and then are off to listen to Ooby Jooby and the Jubies or something doing some rap number? I have no idea.
Yeah, no, I never really took offense unless anyone was like, that was shit, and even then I went, oh, you know, whatever. But it's probably due to how quick the band became, you know, known. I think people just saw us as a bit of a disingenuous band, maybe a bit of a gimmick or a laugh or whatever. And, you know, we were always having a laugh, you know, everything we did was pretty tongue-in-cheek, but at the end of the day we saw ourselves as a band and not as like a laugh or whatever. And yeah, I mean, that was a bit frustrating trying to prove ourselves or whatever, but I think it all kind of worked out in our favor. You know, we kind of just did it our way. And you know, I've often thought, like, you know, if I wasn't in the chats and I'd just seen this band pop up playing music, that even I might have liked the music, I might have gone, you know, what's the go here? Like, what is this? Why do people flock to this and maybe not this band or this band? So I guess, it comes down to that, and I can't get too bitter about people seeing the band as one thing or the other, because, you know, you don't really get a say in how people see you. You don't really get a say in how the public interprets your music. And, you know, if they go, oh, this is great, you know, let's check this out, or if they go, this sucks, whatever. I don't know. You don't really get a say. But you just got to roll with it.
You get a gauge on how happy people are when you finish.
Mm.
Even with that.
Because it's over.
Yeah, even with that song that's played after your gig, I don't know if you're still doing the Foreigner song.
Oh, yeah, that's Al, yeah. That's, if Al's there, it's always
it's
on.
It's hilarious. It's just so, seeing an audience go completely berserk, and then that bloody song comes on.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. And then everyone's hugging and kissing each other.
Yeah, I'd like to think we've gotten our audience a few roots from that.
Oh, I want to know what love is. It's got to be the perfect. It's completely not what you want to hear after you guys leave.
At all, yeah.
But the thing is, while they're all hugging and kissing each other, they're not asking you for an encore.
Yeah, yeah, true. Yeah.
That works.
That's true, yeah. We did an encore at the last London show.
Really?
Yeah, we did Highway to Hell with the prize.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, it was sick.
Unreal.
Yeah. But I don't know, yeah.
Bargain Bin. Yes. Tell us about it.
It's the Chats record label, Bargain Bin Records. Pretty much done all the Chats releases since the, you know, every both LPs and you know, a few sevens that the Chats are done since Pub Feed. But basically, you know, we did the Pub Feed song and we went, oh, it'd be cool to, you know, do some records, wouldn't it? You know, we kind of went around to labels and such, and yeah, a lot of the time we didn't really know what the actual go was, like what the deal actually meant or whatever. So then we thought, oh, you know, we can probably try and do this ourselves. And, you know, it's been a big learning curve, you know, getting around that sort of stuff. But I think at the end of the day, it's been worth it just to be able to kind of, you know, own your own stuff. I'm not saying don't sign to a label or whatever. I think it works really well for a lot of bands, but you know, for the way that we operate, I think it was kind of the best option. And then, you know, kind of we were able to help out our mates' bands. Like the first record we put out that wasn't the Chats was The Unknowns. It's their first album. And we went, no, you know, we'd love to put it out, you know. We love you guys, love your band. Let's get it going. So it's a fun exercise to get into. It's a bit of a money pit, to be honest. But it's just a cool thing. And it's like one of those things that I never would have thought I would have been able to have done. You know, if you told me I was a kid, like, oh, what'd you like to do? I would be like, oh, it'd be cool to have like a record label or a record store or something. I just think records are sick and everyone should have them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a, I was at least saw a lot of better bands than the one I was in, sign ridiculous record deals, get a lot of money for it. And just go downhill so quick.
Yeah.
And never heard of again, like with majors. And as you said before, there's nothing wrong with major record companies and that kind of stuff, and there's nothing wrong with a record deal if you can cop one. But a lot of my favourite bands got caught up in that early 90s, late 80s wave and just never to be heard of again.
Yeah.
Because they just, yeah, it might have been a pitiful couple hundred grand, not millions. But then they were signed for life, basically. Didn't look into the fine print.
Mm.
Come and see a band in a little pub in San Francisco, sign this.
Mm.
Then you signed up for four albums and
go
and work for 11 months and whatever money you make comes back to us.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was horrible. So that I guess that's the good thing about the internet machine.
Yeah, yeah.
You can at least you can promote it yourself, I guess, in some way, and it passes on. Like, people that like you and follow your stuff and you can go, hey, guys, we're putting this out or something.
Yeah, I know. You hear those horror stories from, you know, docos or whatever. And see, I was always pretty skeptical of music industry or whatever, but I don't know. We've always worked with people that we trust and, you know, are our mates. So I think as long as you're rolling with people, you can really put a good foot behind you. You're all right.
And I'm not looking at the music industry because if you're lucky enough to go and play at a big production thing somewhere or someone, you get a slot on a festival, it doesn't matter if it's the bottom, I know it employs millions of people and everyone's heart's in the right place.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So that's fine.
I don't think anyone's getting into playing in a band these days for money, you know. It's
what?
It's a severely misguided attempt if they are. Wait, what?
I don't know why I'm laughing. Oh, bloody hell. I haven't seen you since, now this is the, we sound all international together, so.
Yeah.
The last two times I saw you in Spain, and then I saw you at Amsterdam Airport.
Yeah.
Before you were heading off. We were finishing a tour, and I caught up with you after, you went on a bloody massive Unknowns tour.
Yeah.
Around Europe. Like, you guys were playing, fuck what, just about every night of the week.
Yeah, we did some like 24 shows in a row.
Yeah. Unreal. How'd you go with that?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I loved it. You know, playing with the Unknowns is a lot of fun for me. I kind of get to take a bit of a back seat to the creative process. Well, you know, I write what I play, but Josh writes the songs, you know. Yeah, it's nice. You know, I'm not the singer, so yeah. I can kind of, you know, hide at the back a little bit. Yeah. But it's nice. It's you know, as I was saying earlier, it's kind of nice getting back to those roots of just playing in bars and getting in the van every day with your mates and going, where are we going, you know?
Well, I saw, like, you were coming to the end of the tour in Spain. Like, you only had another week or a couple of, oh, no, maybe about halfway through, but you were all fresh as daisies.
Yeah.
Like, you seemed all, like, you were really chomping at the bit.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I mean, that came from a bloke who probably saw you after drinking 15 hours straight too, so you might not have been seen quite straight.
We might have done the same.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was good. And then catching up again, just basically bumping in the airport at Amsterdam and you were off. You were going up north, Norway or somewhere.
Yeah, we were off to Oslo. Yeah.
Oslo,
that's
yeah.
where the Chats tour started. I remember you had a big beard.
Yeah, I did. That made me look like Santa Claus. All I needed was a red suit. I had the red face, so it didn't matter. So you and I go back, it's a couple of old blokes speaking here, we go back a long way.
Oh, yeah, years.
So we keep entering the last year of our journey, and I think we definitely met you in your first year of your journey.
Yeah.
I mean, our last year seems to be going on and on and on and on, and eventually they'll bring in the green needle and just put us down, I guess. But what do you recall about our first meeting, our first gig?
Yeah, first gig, that was at at the Villa in Noosa. January 2018, I reckon it was January the 25th or so. And I remember they were having a sausage sizzle down the road at Dan Murphy's, and you'd rocked up with, you know, you were double parked, two snags. And I went, oh, you know, hey, Nighty, how you going? You went, oh, hey, mate, you know, nice to meet you. I'd shake your hand, but I got these two snags going. I went, yep, no worries. See you in a sec. But
I didn't offer you one.
Oh, look, I don't know if we were on that level yet.
Oh, jeez, I tell you what, I would have been off me right then. Right?
No, but that was a good time. And after that, a couple months later, we went on that tour for Loudmouth Soup.
I remember the ill-fated, unfortunately, your driver in the van got a bit crook.
Yeah.
Or something, we were down San Remo. And I reckon it was San Remo, somewhere down near Phillip Island.
Yeah, it was San Remo.
And then your driver got sick and he couldn't do the tour anymore or something.
Yeah, he was crook, and we kind of went, oh shit, what are we going to do? Luckily we had a couple of days to get to Canberra or something. I remember we got the Greyhound up there.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, with all our gear and everything. It was pretty funny.
Bloody hell. And then I think we all decided to just bunk in together, for better or worse.
Worked out great for us. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, we were fine with it.
Yeah, right.
We're fine with it. I had some drinking partners for a while, which was pretty good.
Yeah, some enablers.
And it was a fun time.
Oh, it was great.
It was good shit. So what was it like to, you know, young bloke's first tour?
Yeah.
Touring with a bunch of old farts like us. I mean, you know, I'm basically old enough to be your granddad. Not that I am. This is your life coming up here. But what was it like? Like, did you... Yeah, you know, I hope we didn't make you feel too uncomfortable.
No. I mean, you know, we were a bit nervous going into it. You know, that was the best apprenticeship anyone could ask for.
Well, you'd have to remember this. You've got a good memory. Remember the start of that tour in Geelong?
Oh, yeah.
And then we're in Geelong. I had a bit of a meltdown later that night. I don't know why, but anyway, I just did, which is very rare for me. But we were upstairs at the Barwon Club and you were flicking food out the window.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, mate, someone made that food. You went, oh, shit, sorry, naughty. And you were like, oh, because it was just
we got put in the naughty corner that
night.
Yeah,
you got put in the naughty corner, which was kind of, and I felt terrible. I just didn't want to rain on your parade, but I'm going.
Nah, but that's fair enough. I mean, we were like 18 and we were just being piss dickheads and you have some sort of attitude at that age. You're like, oh, everyone can get fucked, whatever. But then, you know. I don't know. You showed us a good way of how to go, you know, have fun, but you can't be at the expense of other people.
Yeah, just little things like that. I think I remember saying wherever you play in the world, you get the worst PAs and they're just, and that's all they've got.
Yeah.
And what do you do when you leave the venue? You say thanks.
Yeah. And that's something we've carried with us. I think that was, you know, one of the best lessons these guys taught us.
And what
other than keep on drinking.
Keep on.
I don't know. It was good to have you guys there going, look, we've done all this shit before. You know, so we've obviously learned a lot from yous over the years. Did you guys have any mentors?
Yeah, and no, for me personally, all my mentors are absolute pricks. I learnt from being forced to cart PAs up the stairs and down the stairs.
Mm.
I learnt from so-called rock stars dragging me out of telephone boxes as I was trying to ring a cab because they wanted to ring a cab.
Oh, yeah, I've heard this one.
Yeah, I got taught by people coming up and just saying, I really like your band, and people tell me to fuck off.
Yeah.
And there was other bands that they're nice bands, like your Celibate Rifles. You know, they'd been around a couple of years before us. And like, there was sort of us, even though we were a bit older, but there was us and the Hard-Ons. And yeah, there was a couple of good ones there that you learned a lot. The Johnnies.
Oh, yeah.
I learned a lot off the Johnnies because I remember playing, we had a residency at the Tote in Collingwood every Thursday night. And I remember one day the Johnnies turned up And they were the nicest, sweetest, because they were, you know, they'd been on Countdown and they were a very hardworking band, but they were the sweetest, nicest blokes I'd ever met and funny.
Yeah.
And they would walk into the tote and order a blockhead. I'd go, what's a blockhead? And they used to get a pot of beer, take a shot out of every bottle in the bar and then top it up with beer. And I'm going, ooh, that's bloody, here's me sucking on a warm jug of cider. I'm going, I might try one of them. So I learned off them. But and there was other bands, but everyone else, I'd sort of like bands that I really liked. I got Heave Ho'd on. You know, back in the early days, I remember I loved the Hoodoo Gurus early.
Yeah.
And they're still a great band.
Yeah.
But, you know, approaching them back then was really hard. You couldn't approach them.
Right.
And I remember thinking to myself, no, fuck the scene.
Mm.
Fuck this, you know, fuck that and everything and just, you know, I'm a punter.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and that was my learning ground.
Yeah, right,
it was, it was a cloudy, depressive scene.
Mm.
And I think you had to be a little bit of a asshole to be popular for some reason. And you weren't allowed to dance.
I think that still rings true.
Oh yeah, it's but you know, it's like, you know, it's whatever you put across.
And yeah.
So many gigs I'd go there, and there'd be 20 people there, and the band would hang shit on us because there's no one there.
Oh.
I'm like, well, I'm here. I paid me $7.50.
Yeah, don't take it out.
And go, you, there's no one here, and then yell at you and point fingers at you. It's like, it's not my fault. I'm here.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, that was my learnings.
Yeah, well, I think it's maybe sometimes better to have, you know, you see someone just being a dickhead and you're like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easier. It's so much easier. It's so much less energy not to be a dickhead.
Mm.
You might not be cool, but being cool takes so much energy.
That's not even cool anymore.
What, energy?
Being cool.
Did you know that I really like beer? Well, I'm here to tell you about a bloody ripper of a Victorian beer called Bodriggy Brewing. And I bloody love them because they brew beers that taste like beer. It's beer so good, we're making a Cosmic Psychos draft with them. Available on tap at all good pubs. If your local doesn't have it, ask them why. Good on you, Bodriggy. Now, one of the weirdest and oddest combinations, I think, the world of rock and roll, in my mind, and I was so grateful for being a part of, was Guns N' Roses,
yep.
The Chats and the Psychos. When we were offered that and realising you guys were on that as well,
yeah,
I just went, am I hearing things?
I was very dubious myself. I mean, I think when you guys were confirmed as the other support, that kind of got us over the line a bit. We went, all right, sweet, this is going to be fun then.
My experience with that tour was one of the most memorable of all because stadium rock for a start.
Mm.
And then sitting back and then watching you guys play and then watching the Gunners show in that kind of situation was just unbelievable. Thinking,
yeah.
how the hell are we here? Yeah. Why the hell are we here? It was unreal. Like for me, that was my experience of it.
I mean, yeah, I was probably the most nervous I'd ever been for a tour going into that, which is funny because you think about, you know, how many people we were playing to in that mostly empty stadium. And it's like we probably played for more people in an actual room, but I don't know. I felt a lot of pressure. I felt a lot of pressure, like playing for people expecting a big band like Guns N' Roses and being like, you know, who are these kids? Like, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't know. It was at least cool for the experience, and that's kind of how I viewed it at the time. I went, oh, at least we'll have some, like, good stories, like, years down the track. And but I don't know if I'd do another stadium tour. It wasn't really.
Well, at least you had 10,000 people lined up at the bar to buy a can of bourbon. We were actually playing in front of the security. who were looking at us going, oh, I was all right.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, we only had to do 30 minutes. You had to do 40, I think.
Yeah, which isn't that much more.
Oh, mate, for us blokes, that's a lot more. That's another.
Yeah, true.
Hang on. How many percent? Can't work it out. But you know what I loved about that the most was just when we were all done, like the sigh of relief, because it's a bit intimidating playing those joints.
Yeah, I feel like a bit of an imposter in those kind of situations.
I mean,
yeah,
it is like, as I said, we just play for the security staff.
Yeah.
So there was no real pressure, but I would say that, there was you're playing in front of 25,000 Gunners fans as the other 25,000 are coming in.
Yeah, and I'm sure at least 24,999 of them thought it was crap. But this one bloke at the airport, and I was at the airport, all in my head going, oh, fucking, I don't know if this tour is going so well. I don't know if we should be doing this. And this bloke came up and he was wearing the Slash hat and had the Slash wig on. He goes, mate, you were great last night, blah, blah, blah. And I went, all right, that's nice. That counts for something,
Yeah.
So that's all it really takes to, get you back in that right frame of mind, I suppose.
But it was great. We formed a real nice little tight army.
Yeah, it was good.
And how many times did we get caught out sitting in the grandstands having a beer together going, whoop, and Gunners are about to do a sound check and all of a sudden there's people pointing and yelling at us.
Yeah.
And it's like, get the fuck back into your room. It's a closed sound check.
Yeah, well, I mean.
It was kind of weird. That was a bit weird.
Yeah, it's just a whole nother world, hey, and it's like, you come from playing with you guys. And you guys welcomed us with open arms and, even let us drink your rider and all that rubbish, get in the van and all that. And it's like you play with a band like that and they're like, we don't want you to like look at us. We're not going to say g'day to you. Like it was just a different vibe. And I don't know if that's really the side of music that I'd want to be a part of,
Well, we were lucky with Pearl Jam in Sydney because Ed introduced us, like we were first on for Pearl Jam there.
Oh, yeah.
And then he decided to hang around for the whole set. And video it. So people are going, well, if he likes it, we like it.
Oh, right. Okay. You had the seal of approval.
Oh, we had the palm of our hand. But that's happened before with Pearl Jam when Ed sung with us.
Yeah.
For one song and then he walks off and people just boo us.
What song did he do with yours?
Can't Come In.
Cool.
So just he sang the beautiful lyrics to Get Fucked, Fuck Off. Yeah. That was it, basically. Yeah, it's hard, but you embrace it. And I think I just think of the good times you and I had as two bands going, why are we here?
Yeah.
And actually the Gunners were pretty bloody good.
I enjoyed watching them. I had their CDs when I was a kid, so I thought,
put on a good show. And then you had gotten a blue with a security guard at one stage. He blamed you for smoking a spliff or something, did something.
Oh, I probably did.
Oh, well, apart from that.
It's probably warranted.
But I loved it. I thought I kept looking at them going, I'm absolutely stuffed after 40 minutes if I'd have to play 40 minutes. They were playing 2.5 hours.
Yeah, they were going ages, eh?
I cannot stand up for that long.
Well, even, when Slash would do his 10-minute solos or whatever.
Oh.
I go, how do you even know that many notes?
Yeah, no, I just all power to them. I love them or hate them or whatever. I've got nothing but respect. It was unreal.
Look, at the end of the day, I'm kind of glad we did it. Like, it was fun. And it's one of those things that you tell people and they're almost like, no, you didn't do that. As if.
Yeah. Oh, what fun. What a fun time.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, bloody hell. So the pressure's on. Okay, it's chats are...
Wait, what are we... We're doing the... What do you reckon you... Dream lineup. For
yeah. So okay. So the Chats are doing a stadium tour,
right?
Of the world.
Oh,
actually, no. Chats festival.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So that the stadium, you just don't want to have three bands.
Yeah.
Play that. So you can pick. The list can be long. So you're taking this around the world.
Yeah.
You can't pick the Psychos because Mac has got a stitch, and I'm on the bulldozer. So unfortunately, we couldn't make it. So you can pick your dream lineup. We can go as many bands as you like because it's a festival.
Right.
There can be three stages, 80 to 90, 100,000 people.
All right. Well, this is something I want to go to. Did the Chats have to play?
That was my other question. Yeah. You can open.
Yeah, let's open. Yeah.
Open and sit back and watch.
Sweet. All right.
Okay, now you can just pick it.
I don't know. I guess the big one for me would have to be if we're talking dead or alive, it'd have to be the Ramones, If it was nice. like 78 or 79 Ramones. That's perfect for me. If the Psychos aren't playing, let's do Friends Mac's All on the Hard-Ons.
Oh, there you go.
If Mac has got a stitch, the Onyas are out.
Yeah. No, he could be better if the Onyas.
Oh, all right, right. He's going to prioritise his sets.
Oh, he might.
For the imaginary festival.
He'll struggle through it.
Yeah, right. Shit, I'd love to see like Screech and Weasel in the early 90s. I'd love to see the Muffs in the 90s. Look, I could go on for days. I mean,
Keep going. Big festival.
Shit, all right.
It could go for a week.
Shit, I mean, current bands, I'd love to see Coffin up there. I'd love to see Street Sweeper, The States, The Prize, Loose Lips. You know, there's just a plethora of great Aussie bands popping up at the moment. Who else are we going to have? We're going to have Rodney Rood doing a comedy set.
Oh, fantastic. Let's go 70s.
70s?
Go 70s. Go early 70s. Right.
Early 70s. Shit.
They're all still alive.
Cheap Trick.
Oh, yes.
Dead Kennedys. You know, love the Go-Betweens, love Razor. The Scientists. I'd love to see The Scientists play that first Pink record. What about you? Who do you reckon? Who's your big headliner?
Oh, you know what? I wanted to go and see Slade when I was probably 11, 12 years old when they played in Melbourne. My mum wouldn't let me go. Imagine that. So I would have liked to see Slade live.
She wouldn't take you or she wouldn't let you go?
Oh, I wouldn't let me go because Melbourne was full of skinheads back then drinking long necks with no teeth.
Especially a Slade show. You would have got bottled, mate.
Oh, mate, at that age I would have put in someone's pocket and taken home and eaten that night. Now, if I could go back in time, I just want to see Slade live because if you hear any live recordings of those guys, they were flat out.
Yeah, tough.
Tough, absolutely. They're really good sound. Mark Bolan, another one, T-Rex.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a mate who went to see him at Festival Hall going, oh, yeah, it's going to be a bit naff, and said it was the loudest, heaviest gig he'd ever seen because they'd produce records so soft back then, but yeah. not live. It's a bit like, I suppose, even some of the Zeppelin stuff back there, even as loud as what it sounded on record, live was excruciatingly loud, like better. So
yeah, I've always considered Communication Breakdown to be one of the first kind of punk songs, you know?
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I do digress. The Saints, one of my all-time favourite Australian bands is The Saints.
Your favourite's Eternally Yours, isn't it?
Eternally Yours. I have three copies of Eternally Yours. I have one vinyl copy that I've played the guts out of. I have a CD copy that I've played the guts out of. And I have another vinyl copy that I've never played that is to be upon my chest as they put me in the oven.
Really?
Yeah.
That's for posterity.
Oh, yeah. That's a band who I really connected with.
Sweet.
Pistols, I got to see the Pistols. They were great. I mean, with Matlock in it.
On that 90s tour,
yeah. Yeah, that was great. I actually got to shake hands with Glenn Matlock.
Oh, sick.
On the Pandemonium tour.
Yeah.
Which was, it got a lot of bad press for that, but it was a great tour and great bands.
Yeah.
Got well looked after. And I remember seeing Glenn Matlock sitting backstage and he seemed to be doing not much, just playing on his phone and went, oh, come on, Naughty, be a man. Here's your chance.
Yeah.
I walked over and I go, g'day, Glenn. Ross from the Psychos. And he goes, oh, g'day, mate. Shook my hand and he might have been up for a chat. And I went, thanks, mate. And I run off. I should have just sat there and gone, here you going? Or something.
Yeah.
I just went, oh. Yeah, I'm still a kid. When I get to meet me,
no,
just
I'm
still
like
a
that.
Kid.
I'm like that.
Fucking.
You know, I don't really get starstruck or anything like that, but when we supported Iggy back in 2019, I flew Mum down because she's a big Iggy fan and she goes, oh, I can't wait for the gig. And we're all hanging out like in the backstage bit, like having dinner or whatever. And Henry Rollins is sitting like at the end of the room, you know, like on his laptop and he's like frowning, typing. And Mum goes, oh, that's the bloke from that band that you like. And I'm like, you know, like talking a bit too loud. Why don't you go up and say g'day to him? I'm like, shut up. Stop it. You know, and he, I can tell he's like looking up. He's like, who's saying that? I'm like, hey. But that was just one person I couldn't go up and say hi to. He's just intense, dude.
Oh, Henry.
Yeah.
I have a wonderful story about Henry Rollins.
Yeah.
We played one of our first gigs in Sydney.
Mm.
I got this phone call and go, oh, Henry Rollins' band's in Sydney. The support act have pulled out. I had my panel van and goes, can you get to Sydney by 9 o'clock that day? And we went, what, playing with a Rollins band? Fuck yeah. So loaded the panel van up with the gear, drove to Sydney, did a 20-minute set, not in a big pub.
Mm.
And when he still had pretty long hair at that stage, and then drove back to Melbourne. Many, many years later, we're on a plane, and that was me red wine drinking days where you could drink red wine and you could order whatever you want in the morning. So we're on an Ansett plane. It's going back in time. And Rollins is there, and he was doing spoken words and a bit of stuff in Australia. And Bill sits next. We've just ordered a Merlot each.
Mm.
He goes, oh, there's Rollins there. He just sacked the band or done something. And he was reading, I beg you, he's reading Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment on a plane. And I'm going, fuck. And I walked up and go, yeah, g'day. How you going there, Henry? Yeah, we're from the Psychos, that kind of stuff. And he kind of knew of us. And we've got glasses of red wine, just as you're walking through the plane drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. And he puts down Crime and Punishment and goes, yeah. And we go, so how come you sacked the band? He goes, I didn't like the way those guys were abusing alcohol and abusing themselves.
Right.
And I'm like, fair enough.
You're smiling at him with your teeth stained all red.
Went back to seat.
Yeah, it makes sense, mate. 30, I wouldn't put up with that either.
And sat down there and thought, oh, that was basically fuck off. And then he kept on reading Crime and Punishment. And the funny thing is, when I was in high school, I couldn't get on with any girls. I was useless.
Yeah.
I had a face full of acne. But what I used to do was carry around a copy of Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment because I was hoping that someone would see me carrying it.
Right.
And they'd think I was an intelligent.
What if they ask you any questions about the book?
It's Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment. What's it about? It's about crimes and punishment.
Yeah, right.
I picked the easiest title I could possibly get. But all it did was all the toughs in school would punch me up because I had this bloody stupid book.
You weren't doing yourself any favours, Karen.
It didn't work out with the Sheilas, never got a pash.
Yeah, right.
But I did know what the book was about. Crime and Punishment.
I knew that was coming.
Hey, mate, thanks for coming up here to the farm. You're always welcome here, you know that.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back here.
No, anytime. And now that you're living down here in the dark, dreary side, you know I'm not too far away.
Yeah, mate.
And always, mate, see you soon.
Yep, see you soon. Cheers. Thanks for having me.
And there you have it. Just a couple of mates having a catch-up over some beers. Thanks to Eamon for coming out and paying us a visit. Loved having you here, mate, and can't wait to do it again. Keep an eye out for Eamon in the chats, all the unknowns, and check out Bargain Bin Records for some great Aussie punk rock. How You Going is produced by Sam Loy, with Matt Weston as the executive producer. It's proudly supported by Heaps Normal and Bodriggy Brewing, the best brewskis around. Come back for the next episode of How You Going, where I'll be having a chat with Scarlett from the world-conquering Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers. Here's a sneaky look.
We splurge and we're in row 3 of the wrestlings. We're like right up. And I got so drunk and I bought so many of those masks. I spent like $200 on Lucha Libre masks. It was ridiculous. I came home and I was like, you get a mask, you get a mask, you get a mask. So funny. But it was worth every cent. They're awesome.
And remember that the Cosmic Psychos are touring in November as we try and flog our new album, I Really Like Beer. Check out thecosmicpsychos.com.au for all the drip trade details. All right, I've got to get out of here. See you soon.
How you going, yeah?